Bonus episode of the podcast. Whoa, this is a good one today. Me, Miles Teller, Mark Sanchez, heard of Top Gun? Well, guess what? Now you get to see one of the stars of it. This episode was taped a little bit ago, January 2020, right before something called COVID. We went to the Super Bowl, and Mark Sanchez and I, when we had a podcast called Fourth and Forever, interviewed Miles Teller for Top Gun. The chat was great. It got pushed back and held on to because the movie got delayed because Tom Cruise calls the shots. So I wanted to throw it up so you guys could hear some good times between three strapping lads. Enjoy this episode. Go see Top Gun. It's fucking bonkers. Miles is a gangster and a rising superstar. And we talked all things Top Gun, Philly sports, Super Bowl. So enjoy it. And follow those guys on Instagram and Twitter at Mark Sanchez and Miles Teller. Me at Adam Ray Comedy. This weekend, tonight and tomorrow, I'm in San Diego at the Mic Drop Comedy Club. Two shows, Mic Drop Comedy Club, new club, 7 and 9:30. Come out. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. It's going to be a blast. New club. Can't wait. All the rest of my dates are at AdamRayComedy.com. Got Pittsburgh coming up, Vegas, La Jolla Comedy Store, Kansas City, Arizona, Boston, all at AdamRayComedy.com. All the merch is there as well. We got new Pickles Taught Me How to Shimmy hoodies and Adam Ray hoodies. Go check it all out. My special Live from San Fran Punchline is up on my YouTube channel. Go check that out. And enjoy your fucking weekend. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with me, Mark Sanchez, and Miles Teller.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Back to Fourth and Forever. Adam Ray, Mark Sanchez, and Miles Teller in the house. Make some noise.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. You guys can feel free to clap,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, feel free to clap or just...
The invisible people behind the camera.
Dude, they're just staring, man. They're staring at you.
I can see you. No love. You can see me. Feel free to interact.
Miles, we were just talking about the weather in Florida, which is a great, you know, kickoff to any good conversation, but is this... you're used to the humidity, yeah?
Yeah, I grew up in Florida. I was in the Northeast in South Jersey until I was about 12, and then I moved down to Florida. Grew up 4 hours north of here, a little place called Citrus County. It's the manatee capital of the world.
What?
Really?
How many manatees do you have to be the capital?
The most.
Good answer.
The most.
No one's going to challenge that fact.
No, but you had an interesting, we were talking about, I said in bugs. Central Florida, we have these love bugs.
Yeah. Mm.
And they're connected because they're, you know, they're always kind of mating.
They're constantly
and
penetrating.
Said you think out of all.
The creatures.
Yeah.
And I like to say creatures versus species.
Yeah.
I think out of all the creatures, I think bugs.
Are doing a lot of work.
Are fucking the most.
Now on this show, do you guys have somebody back there checking stats?
We don't have a bug stat guy.
That's what I'm for.
We rely on our
guests. I'm not a scientist. I've never claimed to be a scientist.
Well, not
all
with that
my
attitude.
Opinions on this show are completely and entirely my own. But I said, you know, because obviously, you know, people know that dolphins
they get
do have sex for pleasure.
Yeah.
And there was this guy I found. When I was in high school, I found this guy who had kept a very, very detailed journal of all the times that he had mated with a dolphin.
What?
And a male?
Yeah, like a guy,
Did you turn him
in? And it's so detailed that it's like true. He would sneak into aquariums and stuff.
No!
And he said...
What?
Oh, yeah. He would talk about he would refer to some of them as like a former lover and she was brutally killed by a boat, you know, or something. And
is this your next movie role?
That's my next movie role.
I love that.
It's,
can I be the dolphin? Hello?
It's time for a sip.
I play a great dolphin.
Let me hear your dolphin sound.
Yikes.
No?
You're hired.
Not bad.
You're hired.
Wait, I don't even get to audition for this?
No, all right. One up,
sir. Oh, man.
Wow, just a straight offer to Sanchez, huh?
Direct booking.
Yeah.
Minority. Hire. Wait, is there, you grew up in Downingtown, Pennsylvania?
I was born in Downingtown. I actually Downingtown. Think I was born in Coatesville, which is right next door. But yeah, I've claimed Downingtown, and then I moved to Georgia, and then I moved to Delaware, and then I moved to South Jersey, and then I moved to Florida.
Why so much?
Is all this good for sound?
Yeah,
it's perfect. It's fine, right?
It's all Top Gun press.
Free guys. Production value.
Top Gun.
Yeah, it's Tom keeping an eye on me.
He's got that.
He always keeps an eye on me. I think it's out of love, but I also think he's like, no, I'm keeping an eye on you.
Now, if Tom Cruise, yeah. If Tom Cruise keeps tabs on you, does he call it cruise control?
Ooh.
Oh my. We're done.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I don't mind a good Tom pun. I guess.
I get it.
Is he funny? Is he fun? Like, can he joke around on set, or is he all business all the time?
No, I mean, I look on this movie was pretty. There's definitely a lot of fun to be had, yeah. And I think it's like just a classic movie where it's going to make you laugh, it's going to make you feel a lot of different things. But it was so difficult to film, just as far as what we needed to accomplish in these jets. I mean, right. The fact that we were, you know, Tom set up a training program. It was 3 months of really detailed, intense flying. For us before we started filming so that we could get up in the F-18s and pull 7.5 Gs and not just be puking,
Jesus.
You know, the whole time. So
7.5 Gs, what does that mean?
It's like 1,600 pounds of pressure.
The force, right?
Yeah, the force, yes. Yeah. So once you get up there, 7.5 Gs is kind of the max performance of the aircraft, but it's really, you know, it's impressive. So if you're flying and you start, you know, pulling some heavy Gs, and if you're flying and you got to, you know, look around because you're training for air-to-air combat,
sure.
And if you have to look for this plane behind you, I mean, you're doing, you're breathing, you're doing this thing called a Hick maneuver, and you're literally, it literally feels like this, where you're just like,
God, it's crazy.
And that is,
that was awesome.
Yeah, dude. You're doing that.
Fucking, you're a real actor, man.
I didn't throw up half the. There was like six kind of new pilots,
yeah,
and half of them were puking even up until the last day. Like, it was never, even for me, man, like, I was, and you know, I would, first 30 minutes are cool, you're ripping around, and then you would start getting like a slight nausea feeling.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of, you know, yeah, you feel like you're about to puke, and you just kind of, you have to just keep going.
Hold it back.
You know?
So how many times total were you in a plane?
I think total, I mean, in the F-18, you know, 20-something hours. The most hours of any civilian. That's me and all incredible. The guys that, you know, you know, that were in the film. But yeah, it's just, and also, I guess, for reference, the one guy, Glenn Powell, who's in the movie.
Yeah.
He's getting his pilot's license, I think, on Wednesday. So after we finished production, he only needed about... you know, a handful more flights to be able to take the test and get his pilot's license.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
So when they give you kind of the outline of like the prep and the all the training that's required for the movie, does that like scare you or excite you? Have you ever been given like a sheet of what you're going to have to go into and been like, fuck, dude, maybe this is going to be too much? Or you always welcome the challenge?
I was pretty ignorant, I think, on the amount of training. I didn't think it was going to be what it was. A lot of components going on. There's some specific things for my character that I had to train on that was unique. Also, because we had to get certified through the Navy just to be able to fly in these jets over water.
Right.
In case we ever had to eject over water, we had to
pass
the Navy Aviator Overwater Survival Training. So we go down to San Diego. They call it like Swim Fizz. So we go down to San Diego and, you know, do all these different things, kind of culminating all these kind of stress tests in the water,
sure.
Culminating in, you know, they put you in a dunker, which is kind of a chassis that you get kind of looks like a train car with three walls and one opening here, which you can never exit. If you ever go out that way, you failed it. But you get strapped to the chair, you get blindfolded, and they now start lowering this thing, the dunker. They start lowering the water. So you're just sitting there. You feel the water kind of raise up. You take your last breath, water now is over your head, and then it slowly turns upside down, and then you have to calmly, and there's people under there in scuba, you know, people under there making sure you remain calm and you keep certain points of contact, and then you're either the guy who has to break open a window and get out, or you're the person behind him who now has to...
hope that he breaks the window.
So you're upside down, so instead of climbing across chairs like this, you're upside down, you get out of your straps, which I think there was four... And then you're climbing the seats like this, and you're blindfolded, and you're underwater, and you're upside down. So you're basically getting waterboarded.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was like, dude, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I don't need to be, no offense, Tom, but like, you do you. Nobody else is in your lane, man. Like, I don't, you know, give me some comedy lines or something. But yeah, so that was that.
Do you think Tom Cruise has a hand in like deciding how insane the stunts are? Because this guy, I feel like, to me, is the ultimate.
There's a lot of stuff.
I mean, he does everything, right?
Like, there's his own, though, right? Too.
He does all of his own. But people, you know, and it's people forget just like, you know, this is also the guy who, you know, Risky Business and Born on the 4th of July,
yeah,
and
sure.
Magnolia and Interview with a Vampire and Jerry Maguire. Like, the guy is an incredible actor.
Last Samurai,
I mean, he was working with, you know, Sword for, you know, 10 hours a day when he did The Color of Money. He's doing the pool for 10 hours a day. The guy's just kind of a, I don't know, he just focuses on something, and anything that's taking away from that, it's kind of like that Mamba mentality, right? Like, anything that's taken away from that, he gets rid of.
Yeah.
And truly, so everything he's working on, everything he's doing is working towards that goal. I mean, Tom ran down the tallest building in the world, connected by a single wire.
Yeah.
The first stunt coordinator they got, Tom said, this is the stunt I want to do. I've been thinking about this for 10 years. Tom said this to the stunt coordinator.
Oh, yes. Wow.
And the stunt coordinator said, that's impossible. You'll never be able to do that. So the story goes, so Tom fired that guy. And they
don't tell Tom because he can't do something.
And he got a new got a new stunt coordinator. But Tom was telling me he had to like retrain, because you're running down just based on the altitude, and he needed these harnesses. So it was all about like blood circulation. And he was telling me he like retrained.
It cuts off the circulation.
He like had to retrain, and then he has to like jump while he's going down it too. So he had to like retrain like blood circulation through his.
What the fuck?
I mean, do you guys ever.
I have a hard time chewing and drinking at the same time. Yeah.
So he's this guy he does all of these like really gnarly, it kind of centers around like breathing techniques, but it's all about finding comfort and slowing down your heart in uncomfortable situations. So he climbed Everest in board shorts. He sat in an ice bath for, you know, 4 hours. His core body temperature never dropped. He ran a marathon in the desert with no water. He does all these things that he say, you know, tribes have been doing for, you know, forever, but he donated himself to science so that they could, kind of come out with, you know, some more studies and research on it. That guy's really interesting.
So Tom's got access to
Laird Hamilton does some of that stuff. Kind of, he does the underwater like weights high stress underwater.
Did you talk to Tom about, I mean, he was cool on set, obviously very focused, hyper-focused and all that. But did you talk about any of his other movies? I know you said last night at dinner, there's a Tom Cruise day.
Yeah, in Japan, apparently, there's a Tom Cruise day. Now, I did say this to people who live in Tokyo, and they said that's false, but then go on her phone and say, you know, it does say, I don't know how seriously people take the holiday. I don't know if kids are getting a half day of school.
Late start.
You know, late start. Yeah, Tom Cruise day, late start. Show up when
asked. No homework.
Tom Cruise day.
Tom Cruise.
What would Tom do?
Yeah, what would Tom do? Tom would be there on time.
He'd be there.
He'd actually be there. Yeah. He'd be there very early.
Extra credit
if you're on
already
time,
done.
You're late.
Yeah.
And if you're late,
is that
you're
how
fired.
He is? I love it.
What is the day?
He's the first one in, last one to leave. And it's kind of, you know, just because obviously what's happened, you know, with Kobe.
Yeah.
Well,
tell us about your relationship with Kobe, because.
Yeah.
Obviously a huge fan of his. He's a Philly guy.
Yeah, Philly guy. But then also, I'm all Philly except for baskets. I'm actually a Laker fan. Because my dad was a Laker. No?
I'll take one from a long distance.
Are you a Knicks fan or something?
I'm a Sonics fan, but we don't have a team anymore. So I became a Laker fan.
Dude, Sonics and, you know, NBA Jam.
Come on, dude.
Kemp, baby.
John, you don't go Kemp and Payton.
You remember when Kemp, they wouldn't let him on the Olympic team because he was too sexual with his dunk. He would, like, grab his crotch and stuff. True story.
You want him to not grab his... What would you do if you dunked?
I don't have a strong opinion either way. I'm like...
But what would you do if you dunked?
What Sean Kemp was doing after he just put the ball in the hoop. What you drop?
Act
what
like you've been there,
afterwards.
Sean.
Act like you've been there before. He's like, that is what I'm doing.
Maybe he was. That's a pretty good Sean Kemp.
I did this
is
before.
It? Don't I think I've ever heard Sean Kemp do an interview. I don't know.
It sounds a little bit like Cookie Monster. I think that's what. Yeah.
Not. Yeah.
Wait. So what?
Okay, tell me.
So Laker fan became because your dad or what?
Yeah. So I got Lakers from my dad. I got nerd in from my dad.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, I'm not even gonna. Don't worry about it.
It's fine then. And yeah, so after Kobe saw Whiplash, I was just reading some GQ article and he was talking about Whiplash and how much he really dug that movie. Thank you, Scotty. Scotty, the man, the man behind the curtain.
Thank you, bud.
Yeah, guys. That's right. I'm all set on hotel coffee, but you guys, just go ahead and drink the Bucks.
Nice.
Drink that good stuff. I'll take this already cold when I got it coffee.
Iced coffee
without the ice.
Here's a question. With the iced coffee size this
small, touch me, Mark.
Sorry, Dad.
With the iced coffee this small, do you like
it's a big straw?
Yeah.
The straw to cup ratio is a little off.
We got a problem.
I think that's a Miami move.
Yeah. If you did that to Tom Cruise, you're out.
And then right, and you have the big one
and a little straw.
Hold it up.
A little short.
Are we close up?
Straw's a little short.
Not now, dude. Is that a power move? Did you set that up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be weird? Like a weird like guy thing to do to like just bigger always kind of have the upper hand. Like, and then you
it's
give
like
them that small
your enthusiasm. Who's sitting first and who's always got the good seat type of thing.
The big chair. So good.
But yeah, but okay, Kobe, so I'm reading this. Yeah, he watches Whiplash and I read about it. And so I just tweeted out. I was like, man, at Kobe Bryant talking about Whiplash and GQ just made my life's highlight reel. You know, Lake Show, so cool. You know, 24 fan, you know, forever, whatever. And then pretty soon after that, honestly, I think like within a couple minutes or hours, whatever, Kobe started following me. So then I sleep on it. Next day, I'm like, well, I got to send him a message now that that is an open.
It
now
is.
That I can, I have to send him a message.
He only follows a handful of people.
He only follows a handful of people. And so I sent him a message half-heartedly thinking, you know, he would respond and half-heartedly thinking like he's going to, I don't know. He's going to go back and unfollow me or something. Whatever.
But that's the worst that would happen.
You don't feel like you can touch like your heroes in that way.
Yeah.
And I don't throw around the word hero, but it's truly somebody that just, you know, what, his rookie year, I was like 9, you know? Yeah. So it's just, my guy, him and Jeter were always two guys I felt like were kind of in the same era. Did it
1,000%.
Two different ways, but just.
Did they have superstar energy before they even got into the game?
That's called BSE, big superstar energy.
I love that.
Yeah, you like that?
So, or big straw energy.
Big straw.
You got that, dude.
Yeah. Big straw energy.
Start that. That's a new hashtag after this
big
episode.
Big straw energy.
Miles Teller, big straw energy.
Nice.
Big straw energy.
I'd buy that shirt. I'd wear that shirt.
Twice.
I just sent a message just saying, hey, I just watched Muse. Do you remember that documentary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so good.
We're so lucky to have that now.
I just rewatched Doing Work.
That was on yesterday.
Yeah, there's so much stuff to go back and consume. But so what? So
I just sent a message just saying, hey, Kobe, you know, I just watched Muse. I really, you know, found it really insightful. And, you know, I related to it in some ways. And Kobe responded immediately. And he actually... I was just thinking about this the other day because obviously, you know, I'm going back and looking through, you know, whatever. And he said, he's like, Miles, he's like, I made that movie for people like us to where wanting to be great shouldn't be looked at as a negative, you know, because like Kobe early on his career, they're like, oh, you're cocky. He's like, no, I just have high expectations for myself. But I just thought, and that's, you know, and this story is not to like flatter myself in any way or put me in the same company as Kobe. It was more the fact that he, after seeing probably one of my movies, said us. This is Kobe Bryant,
really,
and he's putting me and him in the same camp.
It's crazy.
Like it was, yeah, it was just crazy. And then so we're trading some messages, and then he's like, "Here's my cell phone," and then we start texting, and then we started, you know, when we would see each other out and stuff, a handful of times. He always, like, after he won the Oscar, I remember going to the Vanity Fair party, and he sees me from like 40 feet away, man. There's all these people there. He just won an Oscar. He's Kobe. And he sees me and he's like, Miles. He's like, how crazy. He's like, first the Eagles, now this. He's how crazy, man.
Oh my
how
God.
How cool is that?
It sought was, you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, dude, that's Whiplash so cool. is fucking unreal.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah, yeah, dude. It. Yeah. I remember.
I made it for people like us.
Thank you.
Well, hey man, people until like I get a real coffee, there's a reason we're on separate couches. Truly, dude, when I saw the trailer for that movie, I was like, oh, there's no way that this doesn't back up the hype that I'm getting from just watching that trailer. And I know that you played, I think, sax, right, in high school?
I played sax. I started with piano when I was a kid. Right. Saxophone I picked up in fifth grade. Played like my freshman, up until my freshman year of high school.
I played the clarinet, so
nice, woodwinds.
Woodwinds like us. Yeah. Sorry, Mark. Woodwinds like us.
Yeah.
Got to stick together. Wait, so you obviously had some musical abilities, but drum is...
My sister played clarinet, and it always pissed me off that she could play the saxophone very well, but I could not play the clarinet.
I know, right?
Yeah.
The transition.
Clarinet's a nice instrument.
Clarinet?
Nice sound.
You are? Sounds real good.
The sax, I like a good oboe, too.
But, dude, whoa, the girls like the sax. There's no girl that's like, did you hear Adam plays the clarinet? Like, I think I'm going to fuck up. Like, that never... Nobody says that, ever.
Yeah.
When did the drums become a part of it?
You think the clarinet was the deal breaker?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I like.
You never got over.
I don't think I like the tone in which you asked that question, Miles.
We asked the question, Miles.
No, I'm just saying these girls are very narrow-minded. Then
if, they are.
If you check all the boxes, but you play the clarinet.
Yeah. Right.
But also that
she wasn't for me.
But honestly,
and I'm clearly over it.
At a certain
age. No, where's my camera, Janet? God damn it! No.
Janet.
Yeah.
It's a made-up name.
Sixth grade.
Maybe
Janet Matta. She's married now.
Oh, nice. Whoa.
I go back and check on Facebook.
Yeah, no, I think Janet knows very well right now that you check on her.
She's my first girlfriend. You don't check out what
that's
your first girlfriend's doing?
No, that's an unfriend. Nope.
Well, you're married now.
Nope. Yeah.
Do it, Janet.
Do you remember your first girlfriend?
Get rid of him.
Nope.
Your second girlfriend?
Never had one.
Your first hug?
Just Kelly, baby. Nice.
Just Kelly, baby.
Oh, nice.
No, for sure. Yeah, my first makeout.
There we go.
I was 11 and it was during Titanic. No, scratch that. It was in the rain outside of like a trailer.
Whoa, this story just got way weirder.
Was, but then Titanic was like makeout central because it's a three-hour movie,
so
epic
long.
Love story.
So long.
So long.
There's a lot of good breaks for makeouts, right?
Do you like Titanic? It's kind of long. Would have shaved an hour off myself, you know.
Would have gone from boarding the ship to drowning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so drums, though, you played casually in church, right?
I played before that. I always wanted to be in a band, and so I was playing guitar, and I realized I just knew 20 guys better at guitar than me. So I said, well, if I get a drum kit, I'm the only guy kind of in my neighborhood with a drum kit. Like, people will come and play with
me.
And
what age was this?
This was like freshman year of high school.
Oh, okay.
I asked for a drum
kit. That's where you started?
Yeah, that's when I started.
My little man's into drums.
I know.
He got a drum set for Christmas. He loves it.
Playing the ACDC?
ACDC,
yeah.
And what's the White Stripes song? The Seven Nation Army?
Oh, nice.
He loves it, dude.
Nice.
Loves it.
Did you have a band name?
You gotta have a lot of patience to be a parent.
Dude, I got him headsets because it's so loud for his ears because
he's pounding away.
Yeah.
I need headsets, bro. It's so loud in the house. We gotta take breaks constantly. So.
And if you're the drummer, as he gets older, band practice more times than not is gonna
be
at the drummer's house.
He's got the home base. Great.
Although we've made quite a lot of noise at your house when it's funny, Mark. We were chatting, we're like, when did we first meet? I'm like, dude, I had been to your house so many times with you not there, I think.
Sounds about right.
And
Oh yeah, you were telling me like these parties and you would house for people.
When I first moved into my place, I didn't have any furniture. That's probably when we first met. I didn't have furniture. I got like rental furniture and consignment furniture.
Right.
And there were like three or four people who got married right when I bought my place in those next few months. And the after party of the wedding became my place and I needed to get my floors redone. So that became the dance floor. Dude, it was a disaster. There was confetti on the ceiling for
4 years.
Yeah, 4 years after Scotty's birthday.
Is it still there? Was there a moment when one little piece like dribbled down?
It just fell down. It was this orange piece of confetti
stuck
in the ceiling.
Has the audience met Scotty?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They know
Scotty.
Okay. Real well.
All too well. Yes. Scotty is our mutual friend. I've known Scotty for, I don't know, 8 years or something at this point.
9 years. 9 3/4 years.
But who's counting?
First of all, when your Eagles won the Super Bowl, where were you?
I was at the Super Bowl.
Holy shit.
I was 50. I got lucky.
Oh, you went. I didn't know you went.
Yeah. I was filming a show.
And he just said he went, Mark.
He
keep
went.
Going, Miles.
He was there?
Yeah. I got lucky. I had Monday off, so they put me, NFL gave me, I was like 50-yard line, three rows back in Patriots section. So I was thinking, I'm either going to hate this.
It's going to go one of two ways.
Yeah, it's going to go one of two ways.
You didn't contain your cheering, did you?
Went one way.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a minute there, it went two ways.
Yeah.
And then it went back to one way.
Are you the type of sports fan that if you are surrounded by the opposing team's fans, do you go, all right, let me like reel in my fandom a little bit? Or do you go extra hard? Or you just go, look.
I'm a Philly sports fan.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
It's
what's
one speed.
Zebra duck can't change its stripes.
Yep. Yeah, we'll edit in
and
what the real saying
zebras.
Is. But yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's fine.
Zebras and tigers.
But no, I mean, I was like, I'm not making personal attacks or anything on the people around me, but I'm rooting against.
Yeah.
I don't care where I'm still rooting. And that's just how it goes. If you're in an opposing stadium, your team wins, cool. Either way, you just beeline it out. Yep. You just put your hat down and go. But during the game, I'm going to cheer. And after the game,
if I'm in enemy territory, I'm going to just cruise out.
And then you have your Eagles shirt on. Can you give us a quick, your favorite Eagles song?
I'm a big fan of this song on the Desperado album. It's called Bitter Creek.
Ooh, I've never heard that.
Last song, second last song on that album. Whoa. That's really nice.
Well,
that's
how does it go?
We're gonna have to get the.
You just play it over this if you can get the rights or something.
Hell yeah! No, we will.
Yeah,
we have the rights.
Oh hell yeah, we will.
We have the rights to two Eagles songs and the soundtrack to Cool Runnings.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's
pretty good.
Everything.
Hans Zimmer, man.
But no, I told somebody was running out, like, grab me some clothes for this stuff. And I have some Eagle shirts, obviously. But it's like, yo, pick me up some, you know, if there's some throwback
movie
Eagle
star,
stuff
man.
There.
Yeah. Movie star.
You know, pick it up. And so they came back with these, the band. And I said, well, I'm also.
Wrong Eagles.
Hilarious.
Also, you know, huge
biker,
Eagles
not
fan,
biker.
So.
Hilarious.
Yeah, biker, not biker.
Now, do you think that happens with someone?
Oh.
Do you think that happens if someone's like, yo, give me some Raven stuff? And they get an
That's
So Raven
t shirt.
You know, that's, you know.
It's like, I sure hope not.
I don't, yeah.
Love her work, though.
Yeah, big, you know.
When
big fan.
With your Top Gun training, when you hear a plane, do you know what it is?
I mean, that's a commercial airliner for sure.
Fuck, dude. Hot take,
he's
Miles
good,
Teller, dude.
I don't he's know how
good.
Hot that take is. I no. just think that's.
Luke
no,
warm.
You do,
Luke
I warm. Do tend to. I do tend to look up a little more.
Do you?
Dude, they let us fly. So we flew. There's this group of pilots. They're called the Patriots. And they're basically the civilian version of Blue Angels.
Oh, wow.
And the first time I went up with those guys, you go up in an L-39 and you're flying in formation. And I actually was flying the plane in formation. I was in the slot. I had the other plane pretty close to me. And then we did a loop. In
together
in formation, yeah.
Whoa.
And I did it. I landed the thing the first time. I didn't know it, and he said that was all you. I said, "What are you crazy? It's my first time."
I said that before.
Yeah, I know you have. You say that every time.
Yeah.
100% of the time, whereas 50% of the time.
Favorite movie of yours that you've done?
They're all different, you know.
Yeah,
truly. Just because they turn out the best doesn't mean I had the best time making them.
Oh, wow.
Now, with that being said, I had a great time filming Whiplash, and I can look at my career and be like, yeah, Whiplash was the best, you know,
yeah.
the finish you know, project.
So far.
But, you know, yeah, so far, yeah. Top Gun's going to be a hell of a movie.
It looks fucking insane.
Thank
I'll tell you,
Thank
the
you.
Man. Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it, buddy.